time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
It is Tuesday, October 7th. Today could have been a much, much different vibe than it is right now because we're riding high as the Dodgers have taken a 2-0 lead in the NLDS, taking two games in Philadelphia at, 4 hours of hell. How about 4 hours of snell, Brandon?
Hey!
How are you, buddy?
Jesse Rowe, if you love seeing Blake Snell punch in the postseason, let me get a snail, yeah!
Snail, yeah, brother.
Jesse, that was a terrible stone cold. I apologize to everyone listening, but you are back with Deferred Collusion. My God, we are in the postseason. That was an anxiety-riddled ninth inning.
Yeah.
Again, victory almost snatched from us, despite Dave's best...
Best
call to put Trinan in there to sneak a few outs. And whoo, geez, Jess, how's your heart feeling? That was
it was bad. I don't know how you are when watching really stressful playoff games, but sometimes I have a tendency to I pace around a lot. I get very unstable. For one word, I have it on the TV, but I will walk around my apartment and I turn on Gamecast because I'm too scared to look at the fucking TV. And I'm like refreshing Gamecast on every pitch. Like the only time I didn't do it was for the final out. I don't do it for the final out. I do it for all the other outs because I want to make sure I'm there for that moment. But sometimes I just can't look, dude. I don't know. I can't. I just can't. That ninth inning was just gut-wrenching, but we'll talk about it in full. But I figure, since last time when the Dodgers bullpen was struggling, we kind of started off the episode that way, so let's just go to the good stuff here, because
I like that
Blake Snell, this contract is feeling very nice right now.
Borat reference time.
Yeah, he's two starts in on his Dodgers postseason career. He's 2-0, and he went six innings, no runs, one hit, four walks, nine strikeouts. He had 23 whiffs in this game, the swings and misses from the Phillies.
Love that.
That's including Shohei getting 23 swings and misses. Wow. That's 46 in the first two games. Dodgers starting pitchers have been excellent in the postseason so far.
It has been a treat to watch these starting pitchers go to work so far. It feels a lot different than the last couple of years, right? Like it was almost like, hey, let's get to the bullpen as quick as we can and, throw our cavalcade of arms out matchup by matchup and let's get out of this,
Now last year it was like we were looking for excuses to go to the bullpen, and now it's the complete opposite, which is kind of going to see this. That's going to bleed into my take about Dave Roberts going with Trinan in the ninth, but I'm going to save it. Snell owns Philadelphia. His last two starts that he's had dating back, I think he had one in September, 1.35 ERA in his last two starts against the Phillies. So he's doing his job against the best teams in baseball. These are just some amazing stats here that I want to give you. So Snell has four career postseason outings with 9+ strikeouts and no more than two hits allowed. That's the most by any pitcher in Major League Baseball history. Now it even gets better.
That's just in terms crazy.
In Dodger history, there are three Dodger pitchers in history to have two earned runs and 18 strikeouts through their first two playoff starts. This is the list: Sandy Koufax, Clayton Kershaw, Blake Snell.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, you've got one of the best and this is a guy that has two Cy Youngs, probably the most underrated multi Cy Young winner like I could ever think of. I mean, this guy just for some reason doesn't get the same kind of love as other Cy Young winners do, and it's because, you know, he did have four walks last night, so I think that's part of it, is that he does pitch away from contact sometimes. He'd rather give up a walk than give up a double or a homer. Makes sense. But yeah. Some guys, they don't. Some baseball purists don't enjoy that so much. But I just think that this guy is so spectacular and so special. And you know, this is what a pitcher this guy is. What a dog.
Yeah, man. I feel like this was his coming out party in a sense, right? Like I agree with you. I feel like Blake Snell has been slept on, you know, the last couple years due to injury health, not, you know, really getting started until the second half. I think in back-to-back seasons. Obviously this year, trying to shake all those bugaboos of the past, and has triumphantly announced himself in this postseason as a certified dog. This is as dominant an outing in terms of postseason consistency, I think, that we've seen since maybe like a Mad Bum. And I know we're a far cry from some heroics in a World Series title clinching game, etc., but I think no one would be surprised to see Blake Snell come in on like short rest and dominate for like three or four innings.
Yep.
Anyways, his stuff has been electric. The fastball has looked lively, Big Daddy. He's attacking all parts of the plate. I saw like a really cool sequence. It was him pitching against Schwarber, and I forget which inning it was, but he's throwing him inside, just nasty junk. You know, as a left-handed hitter, Bryce Harper is seeing that coming up, going, all right, you're going to throw me inside, and he gets consecutive like change-ups away that he's just whiffing on. And I'm like, dude, this is just incredible. You're going at two left-handed batters back-to-back in the order, completely different. And it's just like the epitome of painting. And yeah, it's so damn tasty to be on this side of it, Jess. Can I tell you that?
Yeah.
There was a stat that they posted on the broadcast last night, and I'm totally misquoting it, so please look it up. But I believe that these were the longest starts of his postseason career. Was it game one he started? Yeah, against the Reds. And this game two, I think he'd only gone like six innings the most when he was with Tampa Bay. And yeah, it was something super interesting that I was like, damn, dude, Blake Snell had never pitched into the seventh inning in his postseason career, famously getting pulled out in that, was it game five of the World Series in 2020 against the Dodgers, where the Dodgers were famously celebrating, hey, we got him out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that makes sense, because in three starts for San Diego in 2022, he only pitched 13 innings. Whereas he has 13 innings in two starts for the Dodgers this year.
There you go.
In 2020 for Tampa Bay, he had six starts for 29 and two-thirds. So that's less than five innings per start. And then he pitched one game in 2019 where he pitched five and a third. So yeah, it makes sense. He's going deeper into games now than he ever has. And this puts a whole highlight on that Kevin Cash decision and that 2020 World Series. But, you know, we could revisit that if we want to. But it just goes to show that this guy is a true ace, is a true stopper. And
and that's saying something in a lineup of aces, right? Like, I don't think there's any, like, diehard Dodger fan you could ask that doesn't say, like, yeah, Yamamoto's our ace right now. But shit, Snell's making a case for it in this postseason. You know, the hunt for Red October is no joke, right? They're a killer, right? They're a super team. The Phillies are a super team. They deserve respect.
Yeah.
That top three is as good as anybody. And yeah, they've been cold, but it takes a damn dominant pitching performance to keep those guys down through nine innings. So, hey, obviously Trinan didn't have it yesterday, or whatever, whenever you're seeing this, you know, in game two. But yeah, hey, the bullpen's getting outs. You know, we're going to talk about Roki. We're going to talk about Vesia. And, you know, I just want to give a little tip of the hat to all those pitchers in the pen right now, except for Blake Trinan and Tanner Scott.
Let's, Let's get to it, because this is how the Dodgers won Game 2. Jesus Luzardo was excellent. I mean, other than in the first inning where the Dodgers did put up some good at-bats, Shohei had a tough strikeout on a pitch that he thought was down, but it was a good pitch. Other than that, the Dodgers really did put up some good at-bats in that inning. Freddie actually lined one to Castellanos in right field that had like a 520 expected batting average or something. So
yeah, that was a great catch.
They could have gotten some runs there in that first inning. But after that, Luzardo, I believe, shut down something like 17 consecutive hitters at one point, and then came out in the seventh. And once again, Teoscar Hernandez, who frustrated Dodger fans in this game as well, because he didn't hustle out a dribbler to Luzardo that Luzardo bobbled. That if he had just been hustling, he's on first base.
Yes.
He redeems himself by jump starting the rally in the seventh inning, gets a leadoff single with a really good at bat. And then who was up next? That was Freddie. Gets a double. Which I don't know what Castellanos was doing. He threw to first base when he got it. Like,
dude,
I don't know why he wasn't throwing to second immediately.
I was like, where is that ball going, man? He's throwing behind the runners. Like, somebody's going to go home. Like,
so,
oh man,
Dodgers get second and third, nobody out. And then they pulled Luzardo. They had to at that point, because the season's essentially kind of almost felt like the season was on the line there for the Phillies, right? They go to Orion Kirkring, who, you know, otherwise known as Orion Cockring. Sorry.
Cockring. Right. One of my favorite things that I used to yell in beer league softball at my local community park.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, hot shot. Oh, here we go. Now you just baseball talk. I would just be out in the outfield just yelling, hot cock. Here we go now, kid. Watch it. Hot cock. So you saying that reminds me of just saying hot cock. Shouts out the brew crew of Wilson Park.
Right. That's why I did it. It was a deep, deep, deep cut right there.
Hell yeah, dude.
So Kirkring comes in. He actually made some pitches to kind of get out of this here, because he struck out Edmund. And then up comes Mr. Senor Octubre, Kike Hernandez, who ends up getting a fielder's choice scoring Teo by like inches at the plate. Like, it was very close play. That pitch to Kike, by the way, was like 2 feet inside. It was a fastball inside. I don't know how Kike got
around on it.
Jammed the shit out of him. And he's, you know, it was just enough. Trey Turner makes that throw on the third base side of the plate. Teoscar's out, like, just straight up. Like, Teo would have been out. He makes the throw. He kind of pulled the ball a little bit. It was a little, and Teo scores, which makes it 1-0 Dodgers, and no out, one out. So nobody gets out on that play. That was a huge play.
There was no outs at that point.
No, because Edmund had struck out. So that was with.
I thought Edmund was after.
But for it's huge for the Dodgers, because they did not record an out on that play. Run scores, no out recorded, and that was kind of the play of the game, in my opinion. Because
honestly, when you're hot, you get breaks like that. And I'm not saying Kike's sexy. Stop it, Jesse. Get your head out of the gutter. That's gross, dude.
He's very sexy.
Okay, he's gorgeous, but that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is, obviously, Mr. Hawktober, dude, he's hot, but you know, the ball's just finding ways to get into play for him. And that swinging bunt, you know, effectively was the difference of the game. You know,
it really was because it's very different to have runners on first and third, two out with Páez coming up
who had a terrible at bat there. He popped out to
Rojas coming up. Muncy.
Yeah, but
no, Muncy. It was Muncy pinch hitting. Sorry.
Muncy would walk, but Páez had a bat at bat right there in that scenario. There was one out. He was really expanding the zone, and he popped up to Harper in foul territory. And we're just like, dude, it was a three. I think he had a full count on him, and he swung at ball four twice, fouling it out.
He did swing at ball four twice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal.
And then this is the thing that's interesting about. So Will Smith comes up. First pitch, two-run single. I mean, this guy is just a year-after-year postseason performer for the Dodgers.
Well, Jesse, I feel like that at bat right there, too, that just, like, over the shortstop, into left center field. Like, how many times have you seen Will Smith – just smacked the ball right there for an RBI. I mean, gun to my head, I don't know if I want him or Freddie more, know, in just a like, hey, yeah. I got to get a base hit. I need an RBI knock.
I agree.
I mean, those guys, they just change their approach. They cover the plate.
Yeah.
And they take good cuts, man.
I would say Mookie as well. Like Mookie, Freddie.
Yeah, Mookie doesn't
Smith.
Really strike
those
out
are
much.
Those are the three that you want up there if you need a single. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just need a hit. With that being said, this is two games in a row where Smith comes in like the second half of the game, pinch hitting for Rortvedt to essentially take over catching duties as well. Like, I'd like to think that tomorrow's game, like, he's just starting. Like, I think.
Yeah,
that
I hope just, so.
Why are you doing this? You're basically wasting two at-bats that Smith is not getting in these games. Maybe three because he's actually up higher in the lineup. So you're actually potentially making it worse than it. But, I think that they should just, at this point, they should just play him. And I did see a report that his hand is feeling good. And they do expect him to start.
Jesse, to your point, you know, I was having some of the same worries. Like, man, is he a little bit more banged up than they're letting on? You know, I mean, recent history, just Freddie last postseason, you know, he can barely walk, you know, X, Y, and Z, but he legs out a triple in his first AB in the World Series. You know, I'm just saying, like, there was obviously a lot going on, but they were, you know, a little secretive with how well he could actually move.
Right.
I feel like that might be a little bit at play here with Will Smith. But I would be surprised if he's not starting game three with Yamamoto. Oh, hell yeah. And that's no disrespect to Ben. He has done more than serviceable. Like, actually had some great at bats as well in the postseason. But there's just no replacing Captain Will Smith, my Captain America, if you will.
Rortvedt is hitting .429 with a 1.07 OPS in his four playoff games so far. So, you know.
Ball don't lie.
Yep. Out of the nine hole. Like, you can't ask for anything more, Ben Rortvedt. You have done your fucking job, buddy. Well done.
Yeah. Shohei, pick him up, man.
Shohei essentially gets in the next at bat with two outs, gets what would ultimately become the game winning hit. We didn't know the time that was the game winning hit. Finally does something in offensively in this series, gets an RBI single. Dodgers go up 4-0, and then Emmett Sheehan comes in the next inning. And I thought, you know, I know that Sheehan gave up a run in the eighth inning. I thought Sheehan did a great job, and we essentially saw what Sheehan's role is going to be in game one with Tyler Glasnow. We basically kind of got a glimpse as to what the Dodgers are viewing with Sheehan, giving us that either seventh and eighth or eighth inning window leading into the ninth. And I think that that's smart because he's got the stuff for it. And I thought he really answered the call last night.
I love that. Yeah, man. Dude, it's been fucking fun. I don't know. I'm a little freaked out. I'm worried, Jess. There's a little bit of my gut that feels like Philly's coming back, and maybe they've seen a couple of our better arms now, and I don't know. There's just a bit of me that's got this negative Nancy that I'm like, have we overexposed our best arms? Like, is Yama going to come out and struggle tomorrow, and that's going to be the ignition? I don't know, man.
Look at it this way. Jack Dreyer hasn't pitched this series. We haven't seen Robleski's.
That's a good point, man. That's a good point. Maybe I'm extrapolating Sheehan being overexposed, but hey, I thought he did great. Right. But like you and I, for those that don't know, we're a big Emmett Sheehan pod.
Yeah.
We're a big Ben Kasperi's pod, Jack Dreyer. These are our guys. We've been championing them all season. And, you know, we believe that a championship Dodger team is going to need important outs from those
guys. There are only two guys that I agree with you. In my opinion, they're only like, oh, here we go with my lighting again. I don't know what.
Come on, dude. Light show. When you were talking, Jess, I apologize. I was letting these little negative thoughts creep in, dude. That's all.
I know. Two guys have really been overexposed. It's Vesia and it's Roki. But like really just out of necessity, like we haven't seen Tanner Scott yet in the series. Who knows what's going to happen with him in these playoffs? You know, I do think he's going to have to play some sort of a role here, but I don't think he needed to be in this game. I'm happy he hasn't been in any of these games. But let's just do it now. Let's get into the decision here to bring in Blake Treinen, because obviously Roki gets the save in game one and he was electric. He looked great. Game two against the Reds, comes in an 8-4 game in the ninth, and he was unhittable, right? So here we are in this ninth inning, and I'm looking at the TV, and I in the seventh inning or something, I see that the Dodgers have Roki up in the bullpen.
Jackets on, everything.
No, I think he actually started like loosening up a little bit.
So at this point, he's already moving.
Yeah,
sorry,
it might have been the eighth inning, I think, like the top of the eighth. I don't remember when it was. But so he's loosening up. And I just thought, like, okay, 4-1, you have a chance to go up 2. Don't get cute. Go to your best guy. Mm-hmm. Your best guy. I know he doesn't
step on the throat.
Still recovering from this shoulder stuff. I know that, but it's just you haven't developed any trust with anybody over the past 2 months. Treinen's been bad. Scott's been bad. You need this game. Like, you have the 4-1 lead. Mm-hmm. You got to shut it down. If you lose game three, whatever. Like, you have to win this one now. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got it there. And then Treinen comes in, and Brandon, like, I am the, you know me, I'm the biggest Dave Roberts defender, like, probably in True. Dodgers media. Like, I'm one of the biggest defenders. This was a perplexing decision to be nice, and an absolutely inexcusable one to be hyperbolic, because
I love
the guy, hero last year. He has been terrible. He has like an 11 plus ERA over the past month and a half.
September like 3rd or something like that. It's been an 11 ERA.
With like two outs with like a runner on base to get an out, like get a ground ball or something, like that's one mm-hmm. thing. To start him in the ninth inning, it was insane to me that this happened. And I think that Doc, maybe I'm overlooking this. Maybe I'm overthinking this a little bit. I think Doc kind of wanted to like prove a little bit of a point here, where he mm-hmm. was kind of trying to like maybe steal some outs to save Roki. Cause he did.
I think that's the right word. I think that's completely the correct way to phrase it. I think he was trying to steal some outs.
Doesn't pitch two every 3 days. He hasn't done that since coming back from injury, not mm-hmm. used to it. But also like kind of has heard the buzz around Dodgers media and Dodger fans about how like make Roki the closer. Like, I don't want to see anybody else. No Tanner Scott, just Roki. Like, no Treinen, just Roki. And like, I think Dave kind of was like, he's gotten a little bored this postseason. With last year, he had to go to the bullpen a lot. He needed excuses to go to the bullpen a lot. Whereas this year, he kind of hasn't. He's really needed to rely on his starters. Where I think he was like, I want to make a decision that makes me look good, but it was almost like he was just trying too hard to like manage the game.
Yeah, I feel like he, like, to your point, I think he was just trying to be like, I'm going to remind everybody of the guy that we got. This is our guy, and everybody forgot and has written him off, and he's going to go 1-2-3 or, you know, maybe 4 or 5 guys, but he's going to get a clean inning. Like, I believe it. I believe that's what Dave was feeling. And I get that. But dude, you said it. He has not been that guy. He hasn't had that swing and miss. He's had glimpses of it where, you know, that sweeper is sweeping and that, you know, the breaking ball, he's throwing them both ways and whatever. He's got, you know, bisexual balls out there, dude, going both ways. But
it's not there.
The velocity's down. I mean, like Castellanos just kind of getting that 3-quarter swing, flipping that bat head out. I mean, last season, that ball's got a little bit more zip. It gets probably another inch out, at least, outside, and it's completely out of the zone. I mean, it was an out-of-the-zone pitch, credit where credit's due. Castellanos got on it and made something out of nothing.
However, one thing I want to say before I let you continue. I do feel a little bad for Treinen, because that was a terrible swing by Castellanos. Totally. Like, he wasn't even following through with it. He just kind of got the barrel at it before he checked, before he held up, and then it turns into a fucking double on a check swing. Like, it's super unlucky that's how it happened. Yeah. But I think the point is, he doesn't, like you said, the movement isn't the same as last year, to the point where it's like gonna go off the end of the bat or off the side of the bat. It was like the barrel of the bat, because he's just doesn't have the stuff this year that he did in years past. And it's like, it was the most predictable thing ever to me. I couldn't believe that it was happening, because I just, but at the same time, I'm like, this is exactly why I didn't want him coming out in the first place, was this.
Yeah. Because so. It's because this, like we were talking about earlier with that play at the plate with Teo, and, you know, Trey Turner's breaking in and he's coming in on the mound. Maybe that affects the throw a little bit. Maybe it doesn't. You know, we're talking about if it's on the third baseline, he's definitely out, but it's not, you know, and that's baseball. That's the difference between making a perfect play and making a play. And, you know, that's kind of where it lies. It can be a game of inches. So with this, right, we're talking about a guy who has historically had it. He's had that it factor, that zip on the ball that made him elite. Well, now he's maybe not elite and he's a little bit vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable and you're searching for it, things like that happen. Just like with Kike, you know, the ball just kind of, it's a little bleeder hit. When you're hot, plays like that happen. And when you're not, plays like that happen yeah. against you. And yep. it's unfortunate, but it's like, hey, maybe next time we get Blake in, it's, you know, we have a 6-run lead and it's the seventh inning, you know?
Yeah,
maybe
give him that's something, the spot give him a clean landing spot, not that situation. Right there, you need to put them away. And I think Doc was trying to, was managing for game three almost. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's like, no, almost. Dude. Like, almost. We need to be up 2-0 for game three. Like, worry about manage for game four in game three if you have to. Don't manage
totally.
For game
I
three.
I feel
in
like
that
Doc
situation.
Was right there, the yeah. thing that had gotten him in trouble in the past, and it was managing with your heart over your head. And if you'll remember, in 2019, they put Kershaw in against the Nationals to just, you know, be a stopgap. He gets the outs. And Dave sends him back out there to go pitch the seventh or eighth or whatever. And he gives up back-to-back home runs to Rodon and...
Rendon.
Rendon, sorry. He hasn't yeah. played in so long. Rendon and Soto, right? Yeah. And it felt like he was leaving Kershaw in there because it wasn't necessarily the best move for the team, but it was the way for, you know, Dave to remind everybody who Clayton is, to shake off this postseason bugaboo. And it didn't work out. It's like, hey, man, you know, like, he's a starting pitcher, not a relief pitcher. He got the out like he needed. Maybe pass the ball over, you know?
I would almost argue, though, that situation was like he felt like Kershaw might have been he might have not had, trust in anybody else in that situation, where I feel like he had other guys to trust in this situation. But you might be right. You might be right that that's – because I do think, like, Doc was, like, a little bit, like – getting too cute, just trying to prove a point about himself as a manager above totally. The fans and about what the media has been saying. And it was almost cost them the game, dude. And there's a reason
he's a player's
why
coach, you know, and I think that's why guys love him, but it's also a double-edged sword. And it's like, yeah. if you're not careful and you're, yeah. you know, managing with your heart and not just your head, like, it can get you in trouble.
And the players, you know, the players got him out of it in this one, because we got Alex Vesia, man. Like, he's not going to get yeah. a lot of the credit in this game, but he came in a fucking mess in this one. It was 4-3 because Tommy Edman almost blew this game twice, because there was a throw to second on the Castellanos double that Tommy missed the tag. The throw beat mm-hmm. him, and he missed the tag. Otherwise, that would have been nobody on with one out, 4-3 game.
Yeah.
It's runner on second, nobody out, 4-3 game. So he misses the tag, brings Vesia in, and Vesia does his job. Now, he does his job with the help of Bryson Stott, Rob Thompson, and the Phillies, because this is the play everybody's talking about today, and it mm-hmm. it's an amazing, amazing baseball play if you're a fan of baseball here, because Mookie, according to Freddie Freeman, Mookie, they have a meeting at the mound when Vesia is coming in. Freddie says that Mookie called for the wheel play, which, for those of you who don't know, it's when you know, basically the third baseman and the first baseman charge in on the bunt. And you leave second base open, basically. You the shortstop moves to third
base,
and then the pitcher goes to first, basically, right? Or sorry, second baseman goes to first.
Second baseman goes to first, yeah. So second base is left completely vacant.
And so Freddie says, all right, if the ball goes to Muncie, I sprint to second. If the ball comes to me, Muncie sprints to second. That's kind of the deal. But either way, Mookie's covering third if they can get the throw to third. And it was... And Bryson Stott tried to put a bunt down on the first pitch, and the wheel play was on. puts it again on the second pitch, goes right to Muncy. Muncy makes a perfect throw to Mookie at third. They get the lead runner, runner on first, one out, 4-3 game. It was just a huge game-changing play. Before I get your take on it, Rob Thompson did say that Stott is supposed to abandon the bunt and go for a slap hit the other way if he sees that Mookie, if the wheel play is on and he sees that Mookie's running third and that second base is vacant, you go to the slap, you go to slap it rather than bunting it.
Yeah.
I think Rob Thompson might have just been defending his guy there because totally. You could clearly see Mookie was charging to third like as the pitch was being thrown. So
yeah, and I think he was blocked a little bit by Castellanos, who he kept close to second base, by being close to the bag, like, hey, we might pick you off, you know. So it was just all in all a very heady play.
You get a little closer.
It's why I love the Dodgers so much too. It's not just superstars, but it's attention to detail. It's like just fine baseball. It's crazy baseball plays. Like that is a ball knower's play. You know, shouts out to Mookie. There's a reason why he led all of baseball in defensive runs saved at the shortstop position his first year at the position.
Yeah,
it's crazy. First full season, I should say.
Think about this.
It's absolutely insane. A guy in his fucking 30s moving from right field to shortstop.
That's the
Fernando
point.
Tatis Jr. moved from shortstop to right field, wins a platinum glove, and everybody goes, wow, what a fielder. But it's a lower valued defensive position. He goes from, you know, right field now to the premium position on the field, you know, second only to pitcher. Unless you want to call pitcher catcher one, but whatever,
right.
The battery.
Yeah.
But I mean, dude, it's unprecedented. And if there isn't a guy on your team named Shohei Ohtani, we're literally just going to talk about how insane it is to have Mookie Betts leading your team.
And not only that, but in that play itself, you have Mookie Betts, a former outfielder who moved to shortstop, and also Max Muncy, a former first baseman DH who had to learn how to play third base to keep his job on the team, making that play, making a fundamental baseball
play. Shouts out to Muncy. We really haven't given him enough love. That was a great play.
Yeah.
I mean, he was at like a 45-degree angle, so he's got his eye on the pitcher, you know, second base, the runner at second, and the hitter, and he just gets the ball, makes a perfect throw. On the run, you know, with Mookie on the run, so throwing to where he's going to be, not a set position. Shouts out to Muntz. He has really, really picked it up defensively at third. Again, in a injury-riddled season, he's still out there making plays. And, Jesse, least we forget, the World Series hero himself, Freddie Freeman, for making a game-saving pick. Like you had mentioned, Edmund just, I don't know, just...
We're going to talk about that in a sec.
The
next play is important, too, because Harrison Bader came up to pinch hit, right?
Ooh, I was getting ahead of myself. You're right.
And this is where I think there was a bit of a chain reaction of events here, because Bader was in game one. He's been one of the Phillies' most important players in terms of, like, giving them depth. He was basically, like, their version of Ramon Laureano and what Laureano did for the Padres this year. Plays great defense, and he's really good against left-handed pitching. So they had to – he wasn't able to play today because he had a quad or a hamstring injury. Something was going on with his leg that was grabbing him, right? And so normally – he would go in there and he would, once hitting, he would run for himself. He's an athletic guy, but he can't run right now. So that's why Castellanos wasn't pinch run for when he was up there, because they needed a pinch runner for Bader if he were to get on base. So they couldn't pinch run for Castellanos. That makes a huge difference in that, because Castellanos, you know, might have beaten that throw to third. The runner replacing Castellanos would have beaten that throw to third. And then so Bader gets in, and then he has to be pinch run for. I mean, that's huge. That essentially affects the outcome of that ninth inning. And then Vesia ends up getting one more out. He gets, who did he get out? He got out, Kepler, in the next at bat, who had to pinch hit in the inning prior to face Sheehan. So, that just had a huge chain of events. And then, with Trey Turner coming up, Dave Roberts finally decides, okay, I guess we have to go to our closer now, who should have started the inning. Roky Sasaki, who comes in, rather than facing a clean inning with a three-run lead, a starting pitcher, by the way, he has to come in with two outs, runners on first and second, against the batting champion of the National League.
And what did I text you, Jesse? I was like, I do not like this. I don't like that one
bit. Who could? Who could like it?
It felt like, oh, okay, like, this isn't in desperation. We're just going to, you know, go to our guy now. It's like, wait, dude, what the fuck?
All you need is to find a hole there, and the game is tied. To Roky's credit, you know, he came in, didn't flinch, 99-mile-an-hour fastball into Trey Turner. He hits a pretty weak ground ball to second base. Easy out, right? No. Apparently not an easy out, because Tommy Edman threw the ball about 10 feet in front of Freddie Freeman, who just made an unbelievable pick to save the game. I don't think Tommy's going to make that throw again, but that would have been – I don't know what would have been worse. Roberts – what we would have said about Roberts or what we would have said about Edman after that game. But Dodgers –
well, and remember, we had pulled – game,
and it's 2-0 Dodgers.
David pulled Teo at that point, so it was like, oh, my God, are we going to go into extras with Justin Dean or James – whatever his name is.
Justin Dean, yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? It was not looking good. But all's well that ends well. Your boy Roky was getting booed, but had a great line after the game saying that, I don't know what they're saying, dude. I don't speak English.
That is the guy
that is turning into a dog.
He's a killer right now, and you can just see the confidence in him. And I think that I made a video about this last night on social media. It's just until the end of this season, until they figure this bullpen thing out, It's Roky, man. Like, it just, you can't experiment. Unless he just isn't available, you know what I mean? But if he is available, you pitch Roky there. It's like, he came into the game. Why wasn't he in the game to begin with? This closer by committee thing is not going to work with a bullpen that's this garbage right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not working.
I do know what you mean.
And it's got to be him. Stop getting cute. Stop trying to prove a point. Just go with the guy that's doing the job right now. It's very
simple. I couldn't agree more, man. Yeah. I literally couldn't agree more. So with that said, dude, do you think that, you know, the game plan for, you know, game three is you get six, maybe seven out of Yamamoto. Hopefully seven, right? But, you know, you plan for six. Roky's taking up your ninth. Who do you got in the seventh and eighth inning?
I mean, you definitely want to somehow find a way to get Yama into the seventh somehow. I think, you know.
Well, let's just say he doesn't, and you got to cover three innings from the bullpen.
Maybe stealing out in the seventh sort of deal, at least. There's a chance we're going to see Jack Dreyer, especially if it's the, Schwarber Harper portion of the lineup coming up. I think that seems like a no brainer. I think Vesia has been used a lot. I would like to see Vesia get a day off, if I'm being honest, because he's just...
I'd like to see Banda, probably take his place in a high leverage spot.
Yeah, but Banda too. This is why I was so annoyed with going to Vesia in game one against the Reds in the 8-2 game. Like, look at what we're using him for now. You know what I mean? Like, why were you using him there? Look at what we need him for right now. And it just that decision didn't make any sense to me. Whatever, I'm not gonna revisit it. So yeah, I think Banda and Dreyer, and I do think we have to use Tanner Scott at some point. Hey, I know it sounds scary, but maybe you use him if Yama can't go more than 5 1/3. And you get a couple outs in the sixth, like maybe you throw him in there. It's a little scary.
Brett Honeywell him, dude. Just fucking get lit up for them.
I mean, it's a little scary, right? Really depends on the score of the game. I think you've got Sheehan's going to be a little tough to throw him out there because he just pitched two innings. I think he threw like 30 pitches. Like,
yeah. I wouldn't expect to see Sheehan in game three. I think with like you said, with Dreyer, you got Kasperius, you still got Kershaw.
Sheehan, 27 pitches, 21 strikes.
Nice. Love that. Love that. So Jess, game three, you ready to move into it or what, dude?
Yeah. So one thing I do want to say, you mentioned booing Roki really quick. Did you see that the Phillies fans were also booing when Joan Duran came in the game, dude, to his entrance second time in a row?
I would be so fucking annoyed if my team was down 4-1 going into the top of the ninth and your closer is coming out to this like electric, you know, light dimming spectacle, right? It's like, get on the fucking mound. We got to get back out there and score some runs or it's over. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Does that almost feel like it's on Duran a little bit? Like, if I'm Duran.
No, dude. You know, you think he gets to control programming at Citizen Banks Park? Like, you know that there's some guy in, like, I don't know, whatever fucking managerial position, some director of entertainment that's like,
sure,
well, we paid for this lighting package and whatever, we're gonna use it, dude. Might be the last game of the season too.
And the rights to the song. But
there you go.
Like, if I'm Duran, they were complaining about it the night before as well. Duran came in the 5-3 mm-hmm. game in the ninth, down two runs, and they ran the package as well, and fans were pretty annoyed by it. And then so if I'm Duran, if I see that noise, I'm like, hey guys, only run that if I'm coming in with a lead or in a tie game or something. Yeah. Like I don't want to make this about me. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's just me. Maybe I'm being too hard on him.
Maybe you are, dude. Yeah. No, it is goofy though. It's a goofy ass thing. I would be pissed if like the Dodgers had a closer and a whole light show for it. But game three, brother, we got our starters set. Your ace, my ace, everybody's ace, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, sporting a 12-8 record on the year and a 2.49 ERA, is going head-to-head against Aaron Nola. Not a very Nola-esque season for him, going 5-10 with a 6.01 ERA and a 1.35 whip. We've seen Nola mince up the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium in the past, but it does feel kind of nice knowing that we're not necessarily getting a, another like a Zach Wheeler, you know, coming in, another ace.
Yeah.
To shut down our offense for six innings. So hopefully we can get on him early and often. But Jess, it begs a question, dude. What's up with Ranger Suarez? Apparently he's available, but we've yet to see him in this series.
Yeah, and also no Walker Buehler sighting yet, as of yet. Yeah, I was listening to some Phillies post game last night because I was sort of drinking in their tears a little bit, and I saw that some of the post game guys were getting a little heated with each other.
Dude, it got chippy
about it. They were speculating maybe that Ranger might be dealing with something that's bugging him a little bit, but you know, there's a chance we're probably going to see him in this game if things get out of hand for Nola early. I do think they will change the plans a little bit and go to Ranger. I mean, Nola's going to have the shortest of leashes in this game. I know it says he's the starting pitcher, but if the Dodgers get a few runs on the board early, he's out of the game. I mean, it's not, they're not going to keep him in there. The season's on the line. You might even see Duran come in. If the Phillies are losing, you might see Duran come in like the fourth or fifth inning. You know, it's totally possible.
That's the best case scenario. You, like I was saying earlier, I had a little panic attack, you know, just fear gripping me of the,
Duran's done his job, dude. He's been amazing in this series so far. Who knows? Cause Ranger Suarez, there was a time this year where he was, in the Cy Young conversation. So, I don't know what's going on with him, but, we could see him later in the game eating up like a couple of innings, and then, I don't know what they go to for game four. Maybe you go to Sanchez on short rest, but we'll see. But and Glasnow is going to be hit pitch game four if necessary. So they're
hope
just
not.
Treating.
I hope it's not necessary, but
yeah.
Dude, how crazy is that? That we just got Tyler Glasnow ready to start game four. Like, we've already wheeled out frickin' Snell. We've already wheeled out Ohtani. and we got Yamamoto waiting in the wings. Like, it is truly an embarrassment of riches.
I just realized something.
It's so rad. What's that?
You were asking who we go to in this game because they've sort of seen our guys.
Right? Like, who do we go to the 6th and 7th inning? Give it to me, brother. So let's say Yamamoto goes 6. You've already got Roki in at the 9th. Who do you got for 7 and 8?
How about the greatest pitcher of all time? How about Clayton Kershaw?
That tastes nice. I like that.
That's just a thought. You don't want to go to Roki, if you don't want to pitch him 3 times in 5 days, Kershaw, I know we don't want to see him blow the game. That would suck, but I think it's an option that's very real and on the table right now and very live. Because
I like that. I love that.
Not a lot to go to. Vesia has been used a lot. I don't want to see Jack Dreyer closing a game. I don't want to see Tanner Scott really closing a game.
Hell no.
Yeah. So Clayton Kershaw, he's there.
I would love to see that. I would love to see our offense take control of the game. Yeah. Yamamoto do his thing, and Kershaw get a fucking series clinching save. Unreal.
By the way, if the Dodgers do win the World Series this year, I just want to say, Clayton Kershaw being on the mound for the final out is very much in the cards. Just be aware of it. Like, if there's an opportunity for them to do it, it's gonna happen. I'm telling you right now, the Dodgers understand what's at. If this is it, and the Dodgers are up 6-2 in the 9th inning of Game 6 of the World Series with a chance to close it, Clayton Kershaw's coming out to the mound. Prepared for it, guys. It's gonna happen. All right, that's it. But we got little housekeeping here. Brewers are pummeling the Cubs. They're up 2-0. Cubs don't really stand a chance in that series, in my opinion. They have no starting pitching, dude. They're not gonna keep up. Blue Jays are pummeling the Yankees. That one was a little surprising to me. Yankees
most runs scored over 2 games in playoff history. Wow. Sorry, Max Fried.
Yeah, and Yankee fans, I saw Marty Mush and Barstool Sports was implying that the Blue Jays are cheating at home or something.
Crazy.
So they're malfunctioning at
spiraling
portions over there. Yeah. Mariners Tigers, they're in a rain delay right now. This game could be over by the time you watch this, but that's probably the most exciting non-Dodger series so far. Very, very close competitive series, so that should be fun. They're 1-1. But who do you before we go, out of the Cubs or the Yanks? I think I know the answer. Who has the best chance of coming back?
Honestly, it's tough to say either team has a chance right now. They've both got dog walked by the Brewers and Blue Jays respectively. I guess I'm going to give the edge to the Cubs, guess, just because that's all. Just because I don't really think there's enough pitching depth for them to stifle this Brewers offense that's just banging. Brewers pitching is just lighting up the fucking, the Cubbies. Even though old friend Justin Turner got a base knock yesterday, love him, 40 years old. It just doesn't seem like they got enough. PCA, Kyle Tucker have just evaporated. I think Nico Horner is a little bit beat up. I don't think Michael Bush has really gotten going. So, the guys that you're looking to really anchor your offense with example of Suzuki, you're kind of boned. But that also goes for the Yankees, right? Judge has gotten nothing going. I think Belly's batting 180. Goldschmidt's not doing anything.
Not really.
Jesse, Trent Grisham is leadoff for the Yankees right now.
It's just so bad.
That is not. This isn't even a shot at Trent Grisham, personally, but he's just
a shot at the Yankees, dude. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is their brand of baseball. Yeah.
Alex Verdugo would be better off leading off.
I agree
for
with
your
that.
Team.
I disagree with you. I think that the Yankees have the better chance of coming back. They were they had the same record as the Blue Jays in the regular season. I know the Blue Jays won the season series. Yankees have looked horrible to start, but I think they like they could win two games in the Bronx, I think. It's totally possible. In game five, anything can happen, but I don't know. I think what both of those series are probably over.
What's the name of the kid who just dominated for the Blue Jays? Yes, Savage. Dude was unreal. Yeah. Like, I mean, Gausman had an unreal start. And then, you know, you get this kid, I don't know, just dominating, talking about it, how proud he is. Like, I don't know, like how much he loves his parents after the game. Dude, I was, as a dad, I'm getting emotional. That's my boy.
It was cool.
It was really cool. But I'm just like, I just don't see the Yankees having to get through a guy like this or Gausman a second time to win three straight. You know, I don't know.
History is not on the Phillies, Yankees, or Cubs side because only like three teams have ever come back down to or maybe four. I forget. But
most recently was the 2012 Giants.
And they won the World Series, so it's worth
it. There was a Dodgers team, I think maybe the 82 Dodgers.
81. It was 81. 81. They won the World Series, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was like some other – I think that's the only two.
That's right. Yeah, I think like three of the four teams that did it, all four went to the World Series, only and three of them won or something like that. Yeah, I don't have the stats in front of me, but odds are not good for either team, but the odds are good for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Up 2-0, going back to Los Angeles. It's good time to be a Dodger fan. Hopefully, we don't see any more bullpen blowups, and we have a nice clean win. Get a couple of days off before we go to Milwaukee to face.
And hopefully, Jess, our X Factor, Teoscar Hernandez, aka Puig 2.0, will make some more orthodox plays out there in right field, and we won't have to lose our fucking mind so much.
That would be nice. I would like that, you know. And if he doesn't, then, you know, more go-ahead three-run home runs.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it is sweet watching him totally redeem himself time and time again. But, Jess, I think we ran out of time for another app here at Deferred Collusion, your blue-collar boys. You know we're out here. The King of Crespi himself. He's out there doing it for all his subjects, you know. It's a fiefdom here. Your Lord Paramount right here.
Yeah.
Giving you all the ball knower takes, your blue collar takes, and you know what you can do to help us out. Hit us in the comments. Let us know what we miss, what you want to hear. Talk some shit with us. We love to hear from you. And as always, share this with somebody who might like it. It helps the algorithm. Boy, do we appreciate it. As much as we appreciate you.
We are slaves to the algorithm at Deferred Collusion.
Big sluts. Slaves. So, sorry, what?
Yeah. All right, buddy. This was fun.
I love you, dude. It's been another stressful couple days. I can't wait to do it again tomorrow. Good vibes all around. Hope your team wins. Let's go, Dodgers, dude.
See you in Milwaukee, baby.